Path Projects. Scott, there's more than one way to win Path Projects.
Everybody can win if they just go to Path Projects and buy their product because they're so good. But the other way is Path Projects, in order to get their word out, is they're giving away a full kit every week. And this week's winner is Cy Sack. He's going to get a pair of shorts, the liner, the shirt, and a hat.
Scott, what's your favorite piece of gear from Path Projects?
Oh, you shouldn't ask me that question because I like every piece. They're very comfortable. Let's talk about the shorts.
Okay.
We have a couple different kinds of shorts that they sent us. One is the Sykes PX, which I love. They have little side pockets, and it fits your entire, if you have one of the larger phones, fits that. But then they have the Graves DA,
right,
which is it has three pockets in the back, like along the top of the waistband.
So which one do you recommend for a running trail?
You know, I personally like the Sykes PX and putting the phone in the side pocket right next to my thigh.
Mm.
It seems like it doesn't bounce around as much. When I use the other ones, it does fit those large phones, but it goes right in the small of your back, right on the waistline there.
Got it. I'm just going to say I like anything made with the material. You know, I love the shirt. I love the hat. I love the shorts.
So comfortable.
It's just, that's the magic.
And if you think a shirt's a shirt,
I'm not
telling you, these are different. I was blown away. I was pleasantly surprised.
So simply go to our partners page where everything is, Scott, our partners page. Click on the banner that says Path Projects. Get yourself entered into this contest, and you become a recipient like Cy Sacks and get your free kit. If you're listening to Trail Runner Nation, you can consider yourself part of a tribe. And to be a member of the tribe, you're going to love this journal.
A periodical. Each tribe, ancient tribes, received periodicals.
They used to roll them up into scrolls and then store them.
Or they were on cliffs, rock cliffs. But they were still periodicals.
But this one periodically comes to my mailbox.
Ultra Running Magazine.
It's filled with people that you know, people you've seen, races you've run or you plan to run. It's a journal about us.
It's a recap of the races that have happened, and it's advice from smart, intelligent people who know stuff.
You won't find us in there, Scott.
No, absolutely not.
But you will find good advice and great information from people you've heard on this podcast. In fact, some of the reasons we invite some of these people on is because we found them in Ultra Running Magazine.
Right. And Trail Runner Nation members can get they have a promotional rate for us. If you go to our partners page and click over, you can get 25% off a current subscription.
Go to our partners page, click on over, get the discount. Ultra Running Magazine. Scott, my daughter is up in the Sierras getting some ski time in, and I think you used to ski, didn't you?
At one point, yeah.
And she brought her aftershocks so she can go down the mountain and be fully open to her environment.
So in case there's a snowboarder coming from behind, she can hear them
and
move.
Exactly.
And if you go to our partners page and click on the aftershocks link, you can get a free pair of Trail Runner Nation all-weather sleeves with your order.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the wide, worldwide ultra running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast with me, a complete imposter here in London, England, and your two real hosts over there with a skeleton behind them very early morning in the studio. It's Scott and Dom.
All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of like old brothel hookers like buried out here.
Yeah. Thank you, Don. You know, I mean, I didn't know what it was going to be like. You know, you sound like a nice guy on this podcast, but
but I know it's on the upper edge, and you guys have won a couple of awards. And
I've never prepped for a podcast ever.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
Okay, we'll clear that up. That will the group of the nation and podcast downloaders are very sophisticated.
They are.
They're unlike any other group out there. They're tolerant. They ignore our many imperfections, and they'll be able to substitute the word. No problem.
They will.
All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
This is kind of us catching up too, right?
Right, right. So believe it or not, I actually hit record. So,
are we already starting?
We are starting right now. Sally McCrae, Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman, and he's not Scott War because Scott War is 30,000 feet on an airplane coming back from Colorado. So it's just me and you.
Yes, it is. And I'm so happy to be here. And Don, it's been a while since we've been able to do a podcast together.
It has.
So why don't before we get started, because I know you wanted to talk to me about a couple things, why don't we talk a couple minutes about you? Because whoever talks about Don Freeman? Never. No one.
I do.
And I know you're going to hate this, but people, if you don't know my friend Don Freeman, he is an awesome person all around. He has been a wonderful friend to me for, oh my gosh, since 2012 when I met him running Angeles Crest 100. Don happens to be a phenomenal athlete. Again, very humble, never talks about himself. But let's just talk about, Don, what you've done in the last, 14 months. You ran the Tahoe 200 endurance run. Then you went 2 months later and ran Rio del Lago 100. And then in August 2017, you ran the Bigfoot 200 endurance run. August, you did the Triple Crown of 200s, the 200-miler slam. And on September 8th, you ran the Tahoe 200 endurance run. And then October 13th, the Moab 240 endurance run. People, Don Freeman, do not estimate the man behind the microphone who only asks the questions of the athletes. He himself is phenomenal. And you just got into one of the biggest races in the world, one of the most challenging, difficult races in the world, which is
Tour de Jeanne. It's in Italy, 205 miles and 80,000 feet of climbing and 80,000 feet of descent because it stops and starts at the same place.
Unbelievable. I am so excited for you, Don. I'm excited to follow your journey, and I hope that you share more of it with us because you have some of the best stories and so often pour into the lives of other people day in and day out. And I think we can all be inspired by someone like you. So sorry you didn't know that was coming and you are blushing. People, he's blushing. I'm here on Skype with him.
Well, that concludes our podcast for today.
Shortest podcast ever, which may never be published.
Hey, thanks, Sally. I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun to do it. I'm inspired by the people that that surround us, and it makes it a lot of fun. I feel accountable when I'm out there. When you go through all the reasons why maybe you should stop, but one of the things that keeps me uplifted and going is having to report to the group that I'm speaking with now that I just don't want to share the sad story that I didn't make it. So I do appreciate people that are listening. And I liked the part of the story when you said I was actually running with you at Angeles Crest. Now, it may have just been mile two or whatever, but I was around Sally McCray for a moment. Hey, now let's tell us about you. Let's catch up. You just got back from New Zealand, and there was a 100-mile race there, and you came in first place, stood on that podium in lead position. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm still in recovery mode right now, so I'm still actually trying to process it all. That whole event, the Tarawara Ultra Marathon, that whole week, They put on an incredible event. So there's lots of things to do and there's lots of people around. So, even though I finished the race, there is still so much going on. And so I didn't have like a ton of downtime, which was in some ways really good. I'm just surrounded by so many amazing athletes and just the people that poured in to make that race possible. And so now that I'm back home, I'm finally starting to really settle into true recovery.
Look, we're going to talk. I want to hear about Tarawara. Is that how you say it? Tarawara 100.
Tarawara.
Yeah, we need to learn about that. There's probably a few of us that don't know much about that race, so let's learn about that. But before we do, I want to say that as soon as I saw you, because we're on Skype and we could see each other, you have that razor's edge racer look right now. You're really in good shape, and that's a fun place to be, isn't it?
It is. And, I would say for most Americans, when we start the beginning of our year, we usually don't start off with a 100-mile race because many of us are still, living under snow and cold conditions. So a lot of people are still skiing and, you know, just doing other cross training type activities. I know a lot of people focus on strength or shorter speed workouts. And so this is the first year that I started my year off with a 100-mile race. I still have a lot of building and some improvement, and I don't feel like I am in complete top fit form. And that really wasn't where my coach wanted me to be even going into this, but I have been quietly working toward it for the past 4 months. I had kind of a rocky recovery after UTMB. So we really didn't know how this race was going to unfold, how my body was going to be, but you know, my coach Mario Fraioli tried different things with me, and it's worked. So I'm really excited to be able to start off my 2018 with this win. It's been 6 years in the making. It's been a dream of mine, and I just couldn't be more thankful.
So let's talk about that race. What kind of course is it on? It's a 100-mile race. Mm-hmm. Is it track? Is it through the roadway? Is it mountain race? What is it?
Yeah, so Rotorua, which is part of the North Island, so New Zealand's split up into two islands. There's a South Island where all the big mountains are, and then there's the North Island. And so Rotorua is really known for its hot springs, beautiful forest trails, lots of forests, lots of lakes. You can get in some pretty good climbing in a short amount of time, but, you know, you're not looking at, you know, something like a UTMB, these rugged mountain trails or anything like that. There is some technical sections where you're hitting some, you know, some rocks on the ground and maybe some roots here and there, but nothing that, you know, I'd say overall, this course would have been very fast. And I was hoping to do that. I was hoping to run a fast 100 miles. Mm-hmm. I was aiming for like a 17 and a half, 18 and a half time frame. I think there was only, gosh, I think it was like 14,500, 15,000 feet of climbing in this race.
That's still a lot though. I mean, Western States has 18,000 just for reference. And so that's not a flat course you were on.
It wasn't, but I still think that in comparison, I think to what I tend to do, I love big climbing courses. I love the rugged mountains, and I really like just really pushing and challenging my body to be able to do everything within a race. So I love it when there's a lot of climbing, and then there's also long sections where you have to really hammer hard. I think it just helps keep me, you know, to be more of a rounded runner. So we worked on that a lot in my training. I actually didn't do very much climbing outside of long hard hill workouts that coach would give me. I was never in the mountains. So, you know, this race, I think you could, you know, if you live in a flatter area, you could run very well at Tarawera. The 100K, which is the top race out of the four distances that they have, it's fast, it's hard, there's good climbing, but the trails are typically smooth. There's a lot of wide forest roads. There's some quick single track. And so I'd say that that my time was actually much slower than I had hoped for. I know for many of us, and those of you listening that do hope to run 100 mile one day, I know a big goal for many of us is to run it under 24 hours, which I did it in 21. So that would seem like, oh, it's a great time. But I think that that's actually a slow time. It will no doubt be broken next year. I hope it will be. But we had a really bad storm, and it basically just completely pulverized the trails. So I was running in ankle deep mud for anywhere, I don't know the exact mileage, maybe 40, 50 miles of the race. And it was, I was either sliding to the right, the left, straight down, back. I mean, I had to think about every single step that I was running and work really hard for it in those long sections. So it slowed me down a lot. It drained me mentally. And it was crazy.
Do you think that fit into your strength as a runner, just being tough and durable and not, you know, a real fragile, just a turnover runner with the legs just spin? Because, you know, you're a hill climber, a mountain climber, a anything runner. Do you think it played to your hand?
I think having so many setbacks in the last couple of years allowed me to be mentally tougher for this, because I can't tell you, I'd say was it like a third of the runners dropped out of the race?
Wow.
A lot of people dropped out. It was very disheartening. I think for a lot of us, like we didn't realize, because all three distances went over the trails before us. Mm-hmm. So, ooh, you know, by the time we met up with mile, I think it was like mile 35, already over 1,000 people had been on the trails. And so when we got to it, it was just this 12-inch deep, thick, slimy. I mean, people, I've never fallen so many times. And to try to get up and down the hills, I finally resolved that if I was going to catch the first place girl, that I had to be okay with just constantly falling. And so I was bombing the downhills as fast as I could. And I think that I, like in my mind, I realized, I was like, all right, everyone has to go through this. I've been in so many races where, you know, I really pay attention to people around me when I run. I listen to what they're saying. I think also it's just like the coach in me, like I can run behind someone. I can tell when they're really struggling. I can tell when somebody's pushing too hard and, or where someone's headspace is. And, you know, I've been in races where, you know, I'm surrounded by people that are just complaining or they're just upset or, you know, you hear them, you come to aid stations and it's like, this just isn't my day. And, you know, they're really upset at the course or they're upset at the race directors. And, you know, when it comes down to it, as soon as we start letting our mind get negative and start putting blame on other things, you're going to have a terrible race. And, you know, I've learned that for myself. I've been really negative in races and I've been in the middle of races just asking things like, why does this always happen to me? You know, like I've had a lot of races where I started completely sick. And, you know, the only reason why I continued doing it is because I'm just so stubborn and angry. I'm not going to let this illness affect me, but I still have had a bad attitude. And I think after finishing UTMB last year, I was the worst storm I've ever been in. It actually left me sick for 7 weeks after the race. It was like the most disheartening race, heartbreaking result I've ever had, because I trained so hard and I was ready. And, you know, I couldn't walk 2 feet up a hill without wheezing and redlining. I was just in a really bad, bad state. So, and that was, you know, lots of mud. It was snow, it was sleet, it was raining the whole time. So when we got to New Zealand, it had been raining for over a week straight. And I remember telling myself, like, I've done this before. I know what this feels like. Like, yeah. I know what to do. And so when it was raining at the start and it pretty much just rained the whole time, and then we started hitting that mud, I mean, there's definitely people around me that were upset. They were negative. You know, I was at one point, I was about 30 minutes behind the leader. And I remember backpackers from the other distances, you know, they would see me like, oh, are you having a rough day? Are you okay? Is this course too tough for you? And I remember just like inside, like so much of my pride, like welling up in me, just like, ah, you know, I'm working so hard here to move. But it was just like, you know, trying just to work really hard to stay positive. And, you know, my coach and we had worked on a lot of speed stuff. We worked on, you know, I was doing a lot of faster runs, a lot of flatter runs. And so I think that we were kind of hoping that this race was somewhere where I could test that, just kind of test my leg turnover over 100 miles, because you're right. Like I typically lend toward races that it's lots of climbing, that's really grueling and challenging and forces you mentally to dig deep. And, this one, I just felt like, dude, I'm just going to fly on this. Like I'm going to be able to go fast. I'm going to be able to do something different.
Yeah.
And it ended up turning into something that I'm quite used to. And that's just the struggle.
Let me ask you a couple questions. You're coming across some back of the packers that are at the shorter distance. Is it difficult? How much energy does it take you to get around without being, you know, you don't want to be the rude runner, like, get out of my way. I'm trying to catch, you know, 30 minutes ahead of me. How do you manage that? Or was it an issue?
You know, no, I think only a couple times people just refuse to move. And I always account that too, like they're probably brand new to the sport. Cause I really believe the majority, like most people know, if someone is barreling down a hill behind you, you kindly step to the side.
Sure.
You know, it's just, you know, especially if it's in the middle of the race, like obviously there's a purpose as to why this person is moving so fast. So for me, I think most of the time, 99% of the time, people just stepped over to the side. But I'm a talker when I come across it's the other distances and it's back of pack. People, you know, if I'm passing them, I mean, I finished before people that ran the 100K and even like some of the other distances. And it's like, you know, they are out there struggling and working super hard and it's a long day for them too. And they're working just as hard. Just because they're moving slowly doesn't mean that they are to be disrespected for what they're doing. So I feel like that even when I'm racing, there's nothing wrong with just saying, "Hey, I'm on your left. Thank you so much for moving to the side, you know, sure. Have a great race." And, I try to be as, you know, well-mannered as possible. and Kiwis are great. I love Kiwis. They're just like kind people. So, yeah, I didn't really have any problems.
You know, like we've said on the podcast in the past, everybody that's behind you is tougher than you. And everybody that's in front of you is faster than you. There's respect both directions, you know?
So true. Yeah.
So tell me about this mud. I mean, you show up and there's ankle deep mud, footwear, blisters, foot care. How did you on the fly manage that?
Yeah. So, you know, Western States, we cross through those rivers and feet are wet. I've been in lots of races where my feet have been wet the whole race. I've been in snow. I've been in mud before. I have never changed shoes and socks ever in a race. I typically don't get blisters. I don't get black toenails. So I followed the same plan for this. I didn't change my shoes and socks. I didn't get blisters or black toenails, but what I did get, which I've never had before, was because the mud and gravel was inside my shoes for so long, it started to rub against the sock and the shoe, mm-hmm. and it ripped open my socks, and then it started to rip open my ankles. Ooh. So about 50 miles in, I was in a lot of pain because there just wasn't anything I could do. And I was wearing compression socks. It probably was the problem is because they were really thin. So at that point when I had stopped around 50 miles in to survey it, like, okay, what could I possibly do to make this maybe a little bit better? My socks were stuck inside the cuts. So it was like, it was just a mess. It was just a mess of flesh and dirt. And I told myself, you know what, Sally, you have to focus on the trail. Don't focus on the pain. And that's really what I just told myself for the remainder of the race. The last 15 miles, it was excruciating. And they had to actually cut my socks off at the finish line and kind of yank the socks out of the wounds, which was not a fun way to finish after a long day on the trails. But
no.
Yeah, but that, aside from that, like my feet are great. It's just the skin all around the ankles and the ankle bone that are pretty beat up right now.
Man, I tell you, well, it's worse to be at mile 75 and have them pull your socks out of your foot. That's worse.
Yes.
With 25 miles left to go.
That's so true. And I, you know, people have asked me about that. Like, well, what do? Would you stop and change if you had the option, or why wouldn't you change? And for me, like, because I'm racing and I was really trying to catch the first place girl, every minute mattered to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been in those positions before where I get beat off the podium by a few minutes and it leaves you wondering like, oh man, if I would have pushed or if I wouldn't have taken that time. Now, some people will say, well, yeah, but stopping can also allow you to be faster at the end too, if you take care of things. And I think that comes with the more that you race and the more you get to know yourself and what you can endure. You know, I was at one, I didn't catch the first place girl till 9 miles left, but then I was able to put almost 40 minutes on her in the last 9 miles. So I was able to, I know I can handle a lot of pain and I can push through it and move pretty well even when I'm hurting. So that's not an issue for me. Now for some people it's like, no, I'm just going to feel better. I'm going to focus more if I just change my shoes. And people that race change their shoes all the time. I mean, I have teammates that'll change their shoes 2 and 3 times in a 100-mile race. And they might need to. Maybe they're predisposed to blisters and stuff. But for me, after years of racing, I've found that I can endure on very little. And that's how I've tried to train myself, is to be as less needy as possible. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it actually worked in my favor for that race, at least.
Now, it, you know, not to go back to me, but I am for a second. That that 200-mile distance, I changed my socks. I had 6 different pair of socks and probably maybe 3 or 4 different shoes just to keep things fresh.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, not only changing socks, but shorts and shirts. And I mean, I've got a wardrobe. I have my closet out there spread out on that trail.
That's a long day. I mean,
it's like a week.
100 miles is a lot. I mean, when you're at mile 75, 100 miles, you're like, why am I doing this? I cannot imagine being at mile 75 and saying, I have 125 more miles to go. So, yes, I would probably bring a wardrobe. I would probably bring a personal chef, a sleeping bag.
Oh, yeah. No, you carry your sleeping bag in your pack, that little foil bivy.
Yes, I had to carry one of those at Tarawara. It's so funny, the mandatory gear that they make you carry in some of these countries.
Hey, well, that I tell you, it's essential on those long runs. You're out there for over a few nights. You know, about the third day, you forget which day it is. Is this day 2 or 4? I don't even know. And because I did a couple of them, I said, I'm going to keep track of my days. That was my goal. I'm going to keep track of my days. And boy, day 3.
Way high, Don.
Hey, was it humid out there? I mean, what was the weather conditions like? You said it rained. Did it rain during the race? Was there a lot of humidity?
Yeah, you know, it was a tropical storm. It's their summer right now. So yeah. I actually wore a tank top the entire time and got hot. For long sections of the race, I was hot. So it was really weird. It wasn't like a freezing cold rain. There was a little bit of wind here and there, but it was nice. It was generally good running conditions, but I was dousing my head with water even as it was, you know, at times just sprinkling.
Yeah. So you're coming from our winter time. And, how did you do some heat training? Did you do some sauna stuff or?
You know, I mean, you're in California too. I mean, we haven't really had a good winter.
Yeah.
So it was generally pretty warm here. Uh-huh. And I do really well in the heat. I thrive in the heat. So, yeah, I was fine. It was never really an issue for me. I didn't feel like I even need to heat train. You know, their summer is, you know, it's like 70, 80s Fahrenheit. Okay. So
it's not bad water.
No, okay. No, it's not bad water.
Creepy crawly things in New Zealand. Do they have like yellow snakes and things like that?
It's not Australia.
Oh, I don't
know.
It's
not Australia.
It's close. It's down there.
Isn't it crazy? They don't have like any animals in New Zealand.
Oh,
like
yeah?
No predatory animals. They have birds, but they don't. I think they have maybe a couple snakes, but they don't have the beasts and crazy bugs like Australia does. I mean, Australia is freaking gnarly. It is. I remember I was in the middle of Ultra Trail Australia last year. And I went, it was at night, went to go put my hand on this bridge post as I was crossing on this bridge. And there was a spider like the size of my head, like sitting there, and about screamed.
Yes.
Like, what in the world? But yeah, Australia's crazy. But New Zealand, no, just a lot of really pretty birds. And there was glow worms. Oh my gosh, the last 20 miles, there was glow worms everywhere. It was so beautiful.
No, you were hallucinating. There are not
No, they have like glow worm forests. Like people go touristy, and we'll go and see these things. There's these little teeny tiny blue dots all over the place. It was really sweet.
If Scott was here, I'd ask him to link a picture of that, but he's not, so I can't.
We miss you, Scott.
Hey, so you know, for a second, Sally, let's pat yourself on the back, because you should, because you're running for Team Nike, and you've been afforded the ability to run all over the globe. Where have you been? You've been to Australia, New Zealand, Europe.
Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where else?
So let's see. Last year I got to go. Yeah, I got to go to Chile to run a 6-day stage race,
yeah.
and then I went to New Zealand for the first time, and then I went to Italy. I was then Australia. I was supposed to go to Austria, but I had lost a family member right between Australia and Austria, so didn't do that.
Sorry about that.
France, and then let's see. China, I've been able to run in the Gobi Desert in China, which is just amazing. Right before I went to New Zealand this last time, I went to Uruguay. And then coming up, I have Spain, I have Japan, Italy again, France. So yeah, it's been a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And Canada, I ran in Canada for the first time last summer. That was beautiful. Super grateful. I mean, it's a dream come true. Since as a little girl, I've wanted to see the world, and what a beautiful way to do it. I get to see the world, but some of the most beautiful places of these countries I go to, you know, in their mountains and sometimes in places that are virtually untouched. So it's really a gift just to experience it.
That's why I wanted to ask you, because I remember we talked about that at the onset of your Nike career, that you might get a chance to run outside of California. And as it's turned out, you have, and you're so grateful and humble about it. You're not bragging about the air miles that you've accumulated. You just love seeing the people and the places, and you hold it dear to your heart. And I think that's wonderful. That's a good way to approach it.
Thank you.
What's your favorite distance?
My favorite distance would have to be the 100 mile, because it means I get to be in the mountains longer. I'm not sure any other distance challenges me mentally the way that 100 miles does. And, you know, it's also just a good way to see more of where I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love the 100 miles. It's hard. And I have to say, every time I do it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I'm going to do this distance again, but I'm very stoked every time I cross the finish line of a 100-mile race.
So even you say, why am I doing this?
Totally. I totally do. It's hard. It's not easy. I mean, if you really want to get the most out of yourself and out of what you're doing, and you know, you want to experience something that's new and maybe even scares you a little bit, it's going to be difficult. And so, you know, when I stand at that start line, and even in the days leading up, I just get myself ready mentally saying, this is going to be uncomfortable. It is going to hurt. It's not going to go the way you planned. It's not supposed to be easy, smooth sailing. And, you know, just that, even that phrase of, oh, it just wasn't my day out there. It's never the day that you expect it to be. Even if you are finishing first, it's never what you are going to expect it to be. And I don't think it's a distance that anybody has ever been able to perfect. I mean, it's rare, if next to never, that somebody is constantly running 100 miles perfectly and on top. There's so many variables that go into it. You know, this course that I just did, next year it could be sunny, the trails could be dry, or it could be really hot, and it's going to be a different race. And it's not, and if I decide to do it, I'm going to have a different experience. It's the same race name, but my experience is going to be different. And I think that's what I love about our sport as a whole. I think that's what keeps people coming back, is the challenges are new, even if you're doing the same race over and over again. And, you know, it really shows us how imperfect we are. Yeah. And I think this sport keeps us humble. You know, it's nobody's on top all the time. And I think that's why it's so much easier to respect everybody that comes to the start line, whether you finish front, middle, or back. Much respect for anybody that has the courage to set out to do these distances and test themselves personally. Because, you know, as we've seen, I mean, last year at Western States was a great example. You know, all the people that we thought that were going to finish first, you know, some of them were finishing with middle packers. Yeah. And I think I'm so proud of, you know, my fellow competitors that choose to finish a race and not drop out, because they it's like your capacity for compassion increases when you do that. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to be more understanding of your sport as a whole and just respect those that are out there for a longer day. And it also, you're allowing yourself to be humbled and to learn something new about yourself as an athlete. And I think I've spent a lot of my career doing that. I've had a lot of heartbreaking moments, but I've never talked about them in a way that's like, these are excuses. I've always wanted to use them to help other people and to encourage others that this is a part of all of our journey, you know? And so the 100-mile distance is, you know, where I feel the most raw and just the most me, because I can't hide at mile 81 behind anything. No. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm stripped to my core.
There's no energy to try to create a facade, because all your energy is trying to get your next foot forward. And you're right. There are a ton of lessons that you choose to lose if you don't continue on. I mean, you're going to learn so much between either stopping at mile 70 or continuing to 100. There's a number of lessons in those 30 miles that you can use to apply yourself when you go to New Zealand or any of these other races. I'm just speaking, you know, it could be for all of us, our next race. There may be a hidden message or a lesson in there that we need to accomplish successfully our next time, especially when we're having a good day. I mean, everything mm-hmm. could be going well, but we needed that lesson to implement so that we can continue on with our good day. So
absolutely. And I'm not saying, I mean, I know some people are going to probably translate it into, well, my leg was broken. Was I supposed to drag myself?
Or no,
I was,
you're supposed to stop.
Problems. No, yeah. Take care of yourself, please. But I think it's just, it really is the mental breakdown that usually wins when we drop out. It's, you know, how many times have we quit something and 20 minutes later we felt, oh my gosh, but I feel so much better. And then we find ourselves regretting. And this doesn't even have to do just even with running. It's with a lot of things in our life. And I think, you know, I've been on so many different journeys of learning and seeing how running is a beautiful parallel to life. But I think there's a lot of things that parallel with life. If you're doing something that you love and you're working towards a goal, whatever it is, whether you're a musician or you're a chef or you're a teacher or a parent, you realize that the things that you love and you set your mind to, they actually are hard. they require all of you in order to get to that finish line. And I think that it's unfortunate sometimes that social media or, you know, the way things, articles are written that kind of almost show this, well, they trained hard and they just, you know, the stars aligned and right. they had a great day. And it just seems like this person is just, you know, so talented and is always having a great day. And why am I not having a great day? And it can be really discouraging. And so, you know, I like sharing that it isn't always a great day, but that there's so much joy that still can come from something that was challenging. The real joy is in the overcoming. It isn't always standing at the top of the podium. And I can say that because I've experienced that. And
you're not afraid to share it, which I really respect. You know, you're a good day or bad day. It's a Sally day. And you know, you take it head on. And I think that's why a lot of people enjoy, you know, following you and reading your comments, is because they're going to get a dose of you. And we all have good days and bad days. You're not afraid to show and expose yourself to both good and bad. And that's why there's a lot of Sally fans out there, I think.
Well, I appreciate that, Don. I you know, that really is you know, a message that I hope to continue. I've always said in subtle ways and sometimes outright that it was never about the running. You know, why I do what I do, it isn't just about that motion of actually running. It's realizing that as the years have gone on, I've been given this platform, and I'm either going to use it to, you know, amass accolades just for myself and attention for myself, or I'm going to use it for something way better, way greater. And if I can encourage or inspire people, just love on people, it's like, that's so much more fulfilling. And, you know, I think most of us can relate to, you know, our greatest memories are always, they always involve people. It's it always involves people that were around. It's experiences that people had with us. You know, standing at the top of the podium, it's lonely and it's fleeting. And it's fun to, obviously, it's a dream come true when you work so hard towards something. But the greatest things that I'll always remember and take with me have to do with those that I was surrounded by and those that helped me get there. And so I think if I can use my platform to encourage people that no matter what it is that you're doing, you know, it isn't always about just getting a hunk of metal on, you know, a trophy or, you know, something like that. But it's really about the journey, the joy and the overcoming and being able to help others, you know, achieve their dreams along the way. And I think, you know, I look back, this is my fifth year now with Nike, and just seeing how far that I've come just in the last 5 years. It hasn't always been glamorous and amazing. But I would say that it's been very full, and I've been able to travel the world so often and meet so many different people that I think I'll always look back on my career as just being full of people and love and just being able to share all of this with everyone. And, you know, the stories that I get, you know, people write all the time, and the stories that people share with me, having been encouraged or just, you know, feeling like they have a little bit of, you know, an extra boost of bravery, because of a story that I shared, man, there's nothing better than that. Mm-hmm. So, I appreciate what you have to say. And, you know, I hope to keep paying that forward.
Yeah, I listened to your comment and I thought it was very profound. Standing on top of a podium is very lonely.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never stood on a podium except when no one was looking. But but you know, it is. I can imagine it's just there's in the connection there. You're just kind of there, and you run with a team, not Team Nike, just a team of people around you is how we work as a community. And I imagine it is a lonely moment up there with no one else around. So
yeah. And I think too, it's, you know, I wrote a little bit about this in my most recent post on Instagram. And it really is just what my goal is for 2018, that I would make my 2018 more about the we and others and not so much about myself and I, because as I entered this year, that's really what I realized. I'm like, what is it that brings me the greatest joy? And it's just, you know, it's the people that I share my life with, and the people that, as I look back, I realize that were so patient and persevering and helping me get to where I am today, that took a chance on me, that had faith in me, especially when I was at some of the lowest points in my life. You know, and I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, those are the people that we don't hear about too often. You know, we are constantly hearing about the same people over and over, but it's like, who is it that helped you get to where you are? And it could be parents, a spouse, a friend, sponsors, you know, your crew. And, I think those stories are so much more compelling and real when we bring to light those that us and serve us in so many selfless ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So reading your blogs and looking at your Instagram posts, it's kind of like looking in a mirror. We can see part of ourselves in your accomplishments. So you do that well, and thank you for that. Hey, what are you doing for Nike coaching? Do you do some stuff? I know you have all these programs. We're trying to get you on the podcast, and you have a marathon training thing. And so tell us a little bit about what you do besides running races.
Yeah. Gosh, it's been a while since I actually have talked about this, because it's evolved so much. The first time, 2012, when we first podcast, it was just online training, a little bit live coaching as well. So I am currently working on several different projects. I'm a Nike athlete, but they also contract me to do special events. You know, sometimes I might come into an event maybe it's like all the VPs of Nike, and I might coach like some runs for them before they head out for their meetings. So sometimes it's stuff like that. Like I might lead them through like a workout and a full on like coaching session on the track, and then they go to their meetings for the day. So that's like high level stuff. Then for a while we had these live sessions called Nike Run Club in LA. I was coaching those 3 to 5 times a week with my good friend, Blue Benedim. And he and I, three times a week, we're on the track, we're out on trails, we're doing long runs. And now, they have done away with those and have really focused on the Nike Run Club app. And so what I do now is I actually get to go into recording studios in LA and I coach, I do these coaching sessions. I read scripts. And it might be like a fartlet workout or a tempo or a long run. And I basically, if you download the app and you go under guided runs, you can pick my workouts and I will coach you through a session and I would talk to you the entire time.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's super fun. And, it's been amazing. People all over the world are doing these and tagging me on social media. And I'm so grateful because I'm like, I get to come with you on your run that you had in Australia. Like, this is so amazing. We're up in Canada. And it's really, really cool. But those are constantly being updated. So I do that often. The other thing that I do that is like such a fun job is like one in a million. I never thought I'd be able to do this is I'm a run tech. So, sometimes when Nike's making a commercial or say they're doing like the one I just most recently did was the Summer 18 apparel guide. So they'll bring in, we call them talent, but it's like models, but then also they'll bring in like some of our professional track and road runners. And I work alongside like the production team, like the directors and the creative group. And then I'm kind of like a cushion between the talent and the production team. So I make sure that the runners are doing what they're supposed to be doing and actually look like runners, that they're hitting, they're hitting certain points, right? So if they're running across the grass and there's like a sweet spot they have to hit or do something specific, I coach them through that. Sometimes I'll coach form, or like the production crew will ask me like, hey, is this true to running? Like, is this what this looks like? And then I'm just communicating between everybody. So I'm kind of like a cushion, keep the energy high. But it's amazing because that's taken me to a lot of cool places around the world. And I meet some rad people. The last one I was in Uruguay and it was hundreds of people on this production crew, and we're just traveling all over the place, taking pictures and video, and it was really fun. So that's what I do. And then I have a very small roster of online coaching. So I have my hands in lots of different things. Oh, and I coach trail running camps. So
that is so cool. You are so busy doing a bunch of cool stuff.
I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I'm so busy.
And Nike's smart to get you involved in that stuff because that's something, one, you have passion about, but two, you have knowledge on it as well.
So. Thank you. Yeah. I've always loved coaching in some capacity. I started coaching when I was like 14 years old. It was mainly soccer. Mm-hmm. And then as I've gotten older, I've always been a coach. And, I think that, it's just brought me a lot of balance in my life. Now this past trip was a little insane, because I went to Uruguay and then I came home for one day before going to New Zealand. So I came home for one day and during the 24 hours at home, I had to get in the recording studio and record an audio guided run up in LA and then go get on a plane and go to New Zealand and race. And God bless my coach, man. He's so pissed. He's always like, where are you now? What are you doing? And a lot of times these projects are really last minute. And so, I was like, all right, so I'm supposed to go run 100 miles now. And it was like the most unideal thing. But I think like Sally 4 years ago would have been like so stressed out and like, this isn't right. Like, this isn't how the build up to 100-mile race is supposed to be. But starting this 2018, I have completely different goals than what I've had in the past. I'm doing things very unconventionally. I've already ran 4 races this year. So I ran four races in 5 weeks, and I placed first place in all four of them. Wow. Really just testing my body and my limits, and then fitting in this trip to Uruguay and being in the recording studio all within 5 weeks was what I'd say is just ridiculously insane. But it's super fun, and for some reason I'm doing okay at it. I definitely recover very, very hard in between all of these things. So we'll see how the rest of the year pans out.
Well, you've already had a full year if you stopped right now.
You know, and it was four different distances. So I'm like, I've had my four wins, four different distances. I'm good to go.
Yep. So there you go, Nike. Check, check, check.
Done. Yeah.
This athlete has done her obligation.
Yeah.
Next race, Turkey Trot in November. So I've seen, like, on, and we all have, we've watched some on animation, we have voice talent come in and they do something and they have full expression and they, you look at their face, but you can never see them because it's animation, right? So I could picture you inside the recording studio with all kinds of enthusiasm, raising your arm in the air.
Yes.
Jumping up and down.
I do. And a few times they've been like, whoa, the papers are flying everywhere, Sally. Like, we have to re-record that. We're catching all the noises you're making. But I really envision the runner. I envision, you know, standing at the start line on the track, or I envision running with them during this tempo. And I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
I know how uncomfortable it is. I know what they need to hear. I mean, I've coached thousands of people all over the world in live sessions. So to have, and of all different levels and all different ages. So when I get in that studio, I envision those people, and it becomes very real to me. So I really hope that comes through on the app, and the feedback that we've been getting has just been really encouraging. So it's
so
fun.
What's the name of the app? Because I'm going to run with you today, Sally. You don't know it, but I'm going to download you.
Yay. You know, they're only like 30-minute sessions too, but they're like good quality workouts.
So I can do two runs to it. 15 minutes each is my distance. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Nike Plus Run Club.
All right. Available on like iPhone, app, Android, what?
Yeah. Everything? You can just go into the app store and download it there. And and I will holler at you. I will encourage you. You might need to be careful with the volume. I have what people call a very loud, boisterous voice.
Do we get any Sally laughs on there?
You might, a little bit. I actually recorded one with Elaine Thompson a couple weeks ago, who's two-time, you know, Olympic gold medalist in the 100 meter.
Uh-huh.
And she was teasing me. She's like, yeah, you run 100 miles, I run 100 meters. She's like, I go fast, you need a nap. I was dying. I'm like, okay, girl. So we're like bantering, and the next one that they put out, she and I are kind of going back and forth, and she's got this great Jamaican accent. Like, she's amazing.
Yeah.
So we definitely have fun. We keep people entertained. And the nice thing is that it's updated constantly. So there's always new runs. If you have a chance, check out Blue Benedim's workouts too. He's a dear friend of mine. He's an amazing coach. And he's got a great voice. He's just got one of those voices that you could listen to all day, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
hey, what's up with the accents? Like, why are they so fun to listen to and so engaging? You know, a Jamaican accent, a Kiwi accent.
Oh my gosh, I love accents. I'm just like, talk to me. But it's so funny. You know the Waze app? Does anybody use the Waze app, that driving app? You know that you can change the voices in that.
Uh-huh.
And mine is set to like this British guy just because I love the British accent so much.
Yeah,
so all my UK friends, like, just talk to me. I love the way you talk.
The problem with that, they have you driving on the wrong side of the road if you're in a British accent.
I do. And this guy's like super calm. So I'm like in LA traffic. And the next exit, you know, I'm not going to try to do one, but super calm. Super calm. I'm like, okay.
Sally McCray, you are fun to follow. You are fun to, you've got a ton of things going, which is super exciting. And we need to commit to doing this more often. These are fun catch-up times.
We do. Thank you so much, Don. It's great to see you, hear you, and just be here again. I I'd say that every place I go to on the planet, people come up to me and say they've heard me on a Trail Runner Nation. And it's just the coolest conversation starter because it just allows me to get to know them too. Because I can be like, oh, when'd you start listening? And when do you listen? And then it naturally leads into a more real conversation about their training and racing and their life. And so it's been a really cool platform just to connect with people. So thank you so much for allowing me to do this.
Well, if it was just Scott and I, they wouldn't know about us without great guests like you. And we'd be done about three episodes in. We'd have to do reruns.
Once people know about what a beast you are on the trails a little bit more, Don, make sure you guys encourage Don here, too, is on his journey. He's going to be racing in August. What's the start of that?
Well, you know, I think it's in September. I better check that out, because if it's in August, I may miss it. But I do want to talk to you about travel and about some of the obstacles and the lead up to stay sharp and not, you know, exhausted before you start. Usually it's just a car ride for me. So I need to talk to you about that, how to prep and be prepared and ready and sharp. Let's get together on that.
Yeah, that'd be a good topic, actually.
Okay. All right. Let's make it a podcast. Awesome. Until then, Sally McCrae, continue going out and running. Moss.